Afternoon. Really appreciated the thoughts around the table there. You know, it depending upon your investment really does determine how much this thing means to you. You're not very invested, it doesn't mean very much. If you're totally invested, it means everything. And you see that played out in the world as well. That's not something that's necessarily unique to the kingdom, but that should motivate us to be more invested in the things that really matter in the kingdom. So really appreciated those thoughts. You know, for whatever reason, it came to my mind yesterday about the Big Ten championship game. I know most of you Ohio State fans watched it, right? At the end of the day, you know, football means a lot more to Ohio State than it does to Northwestern. No, it does. Football means a lot more to Ohio State than it means to Northwestern. And so that investment leads to the results that you typically get when Ohio State and Northwestern play football. You know, and so there are lessons that we can learn from things like that. What is our investment? And so what do we expect our results to be? What is it that we value? What is it that we put time, energy, money into? And based upon that, we can know what kind of results we should expect to receive back. And so, again, investing in the kingdom. So really appreciated those thoughts. We're gonna continue this series for at least this week. I haven't totally decided if I'm gonna continue it into next week or if we're gonna be back to 2 Thessalonians. But last week we talked about Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and I wanted to dive in today to Joy to the World. I didn't ask Davey to end it with Joy to the World, and it worked out perfectly. We're ending with Joy to the World, so worked out beautifully. But there are some things here, and it was kind of interesting because just the way that I went through this process, the themes that I picked out that I wanted to emphasize to the saints this afternoon, and then really what I ended up talking about ended up being two completely and totally different things. So I might save these themes for next week, but when I was first like reading through it, right, reading through Joy to the World, there's certain things that really stood out to me, certain lines. You know, joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her king. I'm like, okay, there's stuff to work with there with let earth receive her king. You know, joy to the world, the Savior reigns. You know, and I have Acts 2:34 listed. And, you know, so that one definitely stood out to me. No more let sins and sorrows grow. Oh, there's definitely something to be mined there. And then he rules the world with truth and grace. And I know that we're going to talk about this at some point. You know, Jesus, the embodiment of truth and grace. I want to get to there. But and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness. So I kind of, it's like, okay, here's some themes that I want to hit. I want to talk about Jesus reigning in his kingdom. I want to talk about the cessation of sins and sorrows and the receptions of the blessing within the kingdom. I want to talk about Jesus' embodying of truth and grace. And I want to talk about the nations proving his righteousness. And then I started digging more, right? And so you can be turning to Psalm 98, because that's where we're going to spend most of our time, actually, today. A little bit of background on Joy to the World. Written lyrics are by Isaac Watts in 1719. 1719 by Isaac Watts, and supposedly, Joy to the World is the most published hymn, the most published Christmas hymn in all of North America. So if a book's going to have a Christmas hymn, you can probably put your money on it being Joy to the World, the most published Christmas song in North America. The common tune that we know it by is by Lowell Mason, and that came about in 1848. And there's speculation because of four of the beginning notes that part of it is derived from Handel's Messiah. So kind of interesting. Isaac Watts is with the lyrics, and supposedly it's the most published hymn. And really, it is credited, Psalm 98, also Psalm 96 and Genesis 3 are all kind of credited as the inspiration for this song. But I really want to dig into Psalm 98 a little bit because this is really powerful. Psalm 98, starting in verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Let's pray. Great and glorious Heavenly Father, I'm so grateful for who you are. I'm thankful for the Psalms. I'm thankful for the prophecies, Lord God, and I pray that we would see really what you have in store for your church and that you have written down beforehand for us to really be able to capitalize and to enjoy. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Very first question I'd like us to think about, and I think kind of scanning the audience, it's going to be a fairly easy answer, but I want us to think about from our perspective, Psalm 98, who is Psalm 98 really talking to? Because a lot of times we can kind of look and we can think about, you know, this psalm, and we don't exactly know who the author of this psalm is other than the Holy Spirit, okay? And so there's this psalm, it's like you kind of sometimes look at the psalms, it's like, okay, this is what David was going on in David's life when he wrote it. Or this is, and it's, you know, 1,000 years before Christ. But this psalm really clearly is a psalm that is written to the church. You can see that the church is who this psalm is really talking to. And in verse 1, this, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wonderful things. His right hand and holy arm have gained the victory for him." His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the victor. Jesus is reigning and ruling. And if we think about, he has done wonderful things. Well, what are the most wonderful things that Jesus has done? Certainly we can talk about creation and Jesus being the author of creation. But what's the most wonderful miracle of all time? The most wonderful miracle of all time is Jesus' resurrection from the dead. This is the most wonderful miracle of all time. He has done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. Gained the victory or accomplished salvation. Now, isn't it interesting that it's gained victory? So a victory is gained. It's something that had to have been grabbed. It's something that had to have been accomplished. So Jesus really gained the victory through what? Through his resurrection from the dead. Through his ascension to glory. And he extends that victory through to us. You know, it's like, okay, his right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. Certainly, that's demonstrated in the physical realm in the Old Testament, right? I mean, salvation, we've talked this year actually quite a bit about how salvation or deliverance or redemption, you know, basically it starts with deliverance from a physical enemy, right? It transitions to deliverance from sin and ultimately deliverance from our physical bodies. And so it's interesting here, the psalmist is talking about how he's done wonderful things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. This is clearly pointing to the resurrection. Real victory in the scriptures, that real victory is not deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt. Was that victory? Was that victorious? Yeah. Is that the ultimate victory? Is that really what this is talking about? What about, certainly, it would be a victory of David over the Philistines. That would count as victories of the Lord, right? But is that really the ultimate victory? See, it is the victory of Jesus over Satan and over death. It is Jesus' resurrection from the dead, his ascension, his continued eternal life that gains the victory. See, he lives on is the victory. It is because of Jesus that the statement is made in the scriptures, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? And he willingly shares that with us, not only our deliverance from sin, but also our future deliverance to be able to have a resurrection body with him. And so his right hand and his holy arm have gained the victory for him. See, this is being aimed directly at the church. Written 1,000 years before Jesus, give or take. But when it says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song, who should be doing the singing? Who should be recognizing his wonderful things that he has done? Verse 2 there. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. I love this. He made known his righteousness. See, Jesus was always righteous, wasn't he? But he made known his righteousness. He put his righteousness on full display so that you and I could really know. See, Jesus knew all along what it was like to be man. He created us. He knew what it was like to be man. Jesus didn't have to come down here to experience everything that we've experienced to know what it was like to be man. But how would we know? Jesus has always been righteous. But how would we know about his righteousness? See, he doesn't just say, take my word for it. He says, let me make it known to you, my righteousness. How amazing is our God? So he has made known his righteousness. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Of course, keep your finger, ribbon, whatever, tab open to Psalm 98. But Acts 17... Acts 17, 30 and 31. Therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all, everywhere, should repent, because he has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. So, he has furnished proof to all men, and all everywhere should repent. He's furnished proof to all men by raising Jesus from the dead. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of nations, in the sight of all men. Proof has been furnished to all men through the raising of Jesus from the dead, in Christ Jesus, that the blessing might come to the Gentiles. See, should be putting some of these things together. His furnishing proof through Jesus Christ that it might come to all men in the sight of nations. Isn't that interesting from most likely a Jewish author? See, it's in the sight of nations. How's that going to come about? Well, we know that even Jesus in the flesh, he was there for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? But Jesus in the spirit can't come until Jesus in the flesh. So it's pointing. It's pointing. So that we would know. For this message is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Again, who is it that can sing to the Lord a new song? Who is it that understands the wonderful things that he has done? Who can sing joy to the world? That is, those of us whom he has redeemed, those of us who have recognized the fact that the Lord has made known his salvation and he has revealed his righteousness. Let it be seen. Let it be known. Verse 3 there of Psalm 98. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Certainly the Lord was faithful to physical Israel, and God's power was demonstrated through and to the nation of Israel. But who is the Lord really faithful to when he says that he has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel? All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Who is this house of Israel? Romans 2. 27 through 29. And will not he who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not judge you who, though having the letter of the law and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews 8. 8 through 11. For finding fault with them, he says, "Behold, days are coming, says the Lord, when I will effect a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, and I did not care for them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, and I will write them upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach everyone his fellow citizens, and everyone his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." See, his faithfulness to the household of Israel is made known. See, the household of Israel, the household that is the Christians that would come from the Gentiles, the household of Judah that is the Christians that would come from the Jews. See, his faithfulness has been demonstrated to both Jew and Gentile Christian alike. It is prophesied in the Scripture that the message of salvation is going to go out into all of the earth. See, this is not just the fact that when the physical nation of Israel was faithful to the Lord was faithful to them. And this is talking about Jesus' faithfulness to his church. The Lord is faithful. He has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Certainly we could go to Colossians chapter 1, right? We could talk about how the message has been preached and has gone out into all of the world. I want to go briefly to Matthew 28 and maybe emphasize something that we don't always talk about in this familiar passage. Matthew 28. Verses 18 and 19. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." Make disciples of all the nations. See, he has remembered his loving kindness and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Go, make disciples of all the nations. See, who is it that can understand the loving kindness and faithfulness of our God? Isn't it the bride of Christ? Isn't it the Lord's church who can truly say, joy to the world, the Lord has come, not just a physical manifestation on the earth, but a manifestation within our heart. Verses 4 through 6 of Psalm 98. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth and sing for joy and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. See, wants us to be the ones to shout joyfully, that no matter what it is that the circumstances say, that our Lord's salvation has been revealed. No matter what it is that may come in our lives, our Lord has a plan, and He is a righteous God who has chosen to share His righteousness with us. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Sing His praises. Sing His praises with all that you have. Whether it's lyre and sound of melody, with trumpets and the sound of the horn, shout joyfully before the King, the Lord. God has made Him both Lord and Christ. That's what Peter says, right? And that's by reason of Jesus' resurrection and ascension. Jesus is Lord. Who is it that can truly sing His praises? Verses 7 and 8, let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the mountains sing together for joy. The whole creation recognizes who the King really is. Luke chapter 19. Luke 19, 37 through 40. And as He was now approaching near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. Just pause for just a second, right? Right? They're praising God joyfully with a loud voice for all the miracles which they had seen. What did we say earlier was the greatest miracle of all time? Jesus' resurrection from the dead, right? It hadn't even happened yet. Again, what are we praising the Lord for? Verse 38, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in the heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees in the multitude said to Him, teacher, rebuke your disciples. And He answered and said, I tell you, if these become silent, the stones will cry out. It's interesting because you read the Psalms and it's like, sometimes it's kind of interesting. You've got 7 and 8, let the sea roar and all it contains, the world and all those who dwell it, let the rivers clap their hands and the mountains sing together for joy. And you're like, oh, that's cool personification. And it is cool personification. But what's the Lord say? If the people don't shout it out, the stones will. Okay? The whole creation recognizes who the King actually is. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 16 through 23. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of glory. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but because of him who subjected it in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of glory. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her. Isn't it interesting? While fields and floods, rocks, hills, and plains repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. See, this is clear understanding that the whole creation recognizes the King. Do we realize how blessed we are to really have God share His glory with us? Who is it who is to shout joyfully to the Lord? The creation itself has been subjected and is anxiously anticipating the revealing of the sons of glory. See, we have to really absorb the fact that the great God is willing to share His glory with us. That willingness to share His glory with us really is a blessing even to the creation around us. That God is willing to share His glory with those in the church. Talk about a blessing. Talk about joy to the world. Back to Psalm 98. That last verse. Before the Lord, for He is coming to judge the earth, He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. See this anxious anticipating of the revealing of the sons of glory? When's that going to happen? It's going to happen at J-Day, isn't it? Before the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth, He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. See, it's clear what this psalmist is really talking about. 1 John 3. 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. It's at judgment. It's at judgment. The Lord is coming to judge. Judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. The revelation, the final salvation, the redemption, the hope with which we have and we eagerly await, the revealing. Isaiah 53. Again, I want us to remember verse 1. We'll sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the Lord been revealed? Who has believed the message of the prophets? To whom has the arm of the Lord, His power, His strength, His salvation, to whom has that been revealed? And who's done something about it? See, (clears throat) Jesus, through God, through the resurrection of Jesus, okay, furnished proof to all men. Who's done something about that proof? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who's doing something about that? Who has believed the message? The message goes out, but then there's a response to the message. We are those who have responded to the message. We are those who have believed and who have seen and appreciated the arm of the Lord. John chapter 12. John 12. Starting in verse 36. While you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. That the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe, for Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes, and he has hardened their hearts, lest they see with their eyes, and perceive with their heart, and be converted, and I heal them. These things Isaiah said, because he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. See, they didn't see it. They didn't look. They didn't perceive. It wasn't revealed to them. But who has believed the report? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Isaiah saw the glory of Jesus Christ. And that is the glory which is revealed to us. Who has believed our report? To whom has the Lord been revealed? To those who see the glorified Christ. And those who can see the glorified Christ exuberantly announce joy to the world. The people that can be the most joyful are the people who are awaiting the redemption of their body, who can look forward to judgment day because they know that that is the final revelation of their salvation. Joy to the world.
Couldn't ask for a better introduction to this song.